Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quitlet authors, and sober heroes. Hi, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Genuinely Grace. If you're listening to the podcast for the first time, by the way, big welcome. You know, I know we've got people joining us all the time who then often go back and listen to all 253 episodes bit by bit. I get some really good messages from people saying, I'm just listening to episode 3, or I'm listening to the one where you're talking about where you first came out about your sobriety. So, yeah, it's great fun to go back and listen through the archives. And it's always great for me to know which podcasts you've enjoyed. So do drop me a message if you're listening back to some of the old podcasts, and let me know some of your favourites. And the Sober Club, somebody was saying how much they'd enjoyed the podcast I did with Lotta Dan, Mrs. D. Oh, that was just such a fabulous book. Mrs. D is going without. And I interviewed Lotta a couple of times, actually. So I'll have to get her back on again. Please do listen back to some of the podcasts if you haven't been up to speed, as it were. And as always, it's great if you can give it a nice review or a share, whatever it might be for you. Really delighted that our sponsor again this week is Awake Organics. So I mentioned last week that Awake Organics are a growing family business based in Buckinghamshire. And I absolutely love their products because they are the real deal. They're completely natural. They're made in the UK. They are definitely sustainable. So you don't have any of those worries about whether they've snuck in ingredients that aren't very good for you. You don't have to worry about the parabens or the sodium lauryl sulfates or the aluminum or the petrochemicals, and they're certified cruelty free as well. So a really great brand. And last week I mentioned the caffeine and rosemary shampoo powder, which is this really unique water activated powder, which is really fantastic and perfect if you're traveling, because obviously you don't have any liquid, and it's equivalent to 3 bottles of water-based shampoo. And I touched on the fact that also they've got these natural deodorants, and I thought, why not share a bit of info about that? Because when I think back to all the years I was working in radio, and in the early years when I was writing my books on being imperfectly natural, my holistic living books, I used to say on the radio too, if you're starting out on this kind of non-toxic path, perhaps since you've stopped drinking, it's the first time you've realized, hold on a minute, I need to think about what I put on my skin and what I put into my body. And so actually a natural deodorant is a really good place to start. And it was always the thing that I got the most emails and calls about. And I used to mention it on the radio. People used to say, well, I've heard you talk about a natural deodorant, but seriously, you know, I want to be able to go to the gym or whatever. But the reality is, natural deodorants are a great place to start on your non-toxic journey. So Awake Organics have a natural deodorant range, aluminium free, 100% natural, and most importantly, really effective. So they've got one that uses supplement grade magnesium in the formula. So great way to top up your magnesium levels as well. And they've got everything from an unscented one for very sensitive skin. You know, not everybody wants a scent, even if it's a natural scent, right through to extra strength. So again, plastic free, cruelty free, made in England. They've got other products as well, so check them out. Such a great brand, awakeorganics.co.uk. And as I mentioned last week, if it's your first purchase with them, you can get a discount, 20% off your first purchase. So if you use the code JANEYLEE20 at checkout, so JANEYLEE in capital letters, JANEYLEE20 at the checkout. So I'll put that in the show notes, and there's a blog post about Awake Organics if you pop over to my Imperfectly Natural site as well. So you can find all the info there. Just a quick mention before we get into our guest this week. I realised that I haven't shared for ages exactly what we do in the Sober Club. And I occasionally get messages from people say, well, I've heard you mention it, but how does it work? And so basically it is a platform. It's a non-judgmental platform. There are some blog posts. There's some bits and pieces on the front facing bit, if you like, of thesoberclub.com. And then it's a membership site. So what that means is there's a small monthly fee, or you can pay for a year and get a couple of months free and a few add-ons. And what's included in that membership is access to our course, Get the Buzz Without the Booze, which is a fully comprehensive course that would otherwise cost you 150 odd quid just on its own. There is access to a massive member portal full of resources and materials. And I am proud of this stuff because I've amassed it over the years. And I'm very fortunate that I get fantastic experts. So many of the experts you've heard on the podcast have also done recorded exclusive pieces for us in the Sober Club. So we've got just a huge, huge portal of well-being stuff. So if you want to focus on living your best life without alcohol, that's why it's a fantastic resource. Of course, there's a huge amount around if getting started. So if you're early days, as I say, Get the Buzz Without the Booze is a full course, which will take you from right from day one and include all of the aspects that you need in that course. We've got some exclusive videos with William Porter. We've got a whole bunch of stuff around cravings, around content around sugar, how you overcome the sugar monster. There is masses on nutrition, all different aspects of nutrition. As I say, some of the experts who've done podcasts for us have recorded extra exclusive content for us in the Sober Club. And then we've got a massive mindset section where we've got meditations. We've got some wonderful meditations, all kinds of hypnosis meditations, interviews with people are on different aspects of mindset, EFT, tapping. We've got an amazing movement meditation with Shaman Yakov Darling Khan. We've got some fitness stuff, yoga classes. I mean, really, it is all there in that member portal. So if you join us, you have access to everything there. Plus, of course, we have our community, which is currently a private Facebook group. It's not huge, so it's not one of those massive ones. It's very small and supportive. It really is. And it's totally non-judgmental. And when you're connected there, it adds another layer of accountability, get that word out, for whatever it is that's going on in your life. So we genuinely do have people who are on day one, or they're sober curious and they're kind of dipping their toes in the water. And then we've got people who've been sober. One woman's been sober for 13 years. How cool is that? Because it's never only about not drinking. Of course that underpins it. Of course that's what lays the foundation. But after that, it's about how can we live our best lives without the booze? How can we focus on what we want to do next? How can we focus on our creativity, our purpose, our health and well-being, our contribution, whatever it might be for you? And that's the really fabulous thing about our community. We totally support each other and become cheerleaders for each other. So there's my little plug for this week. It is thesoberclub.com. I'm really excited to introduce you to my guest. Carl is 38. He's from Yorkshire. He lives in Manchester. He's in his third year of sobriety. He's going to tell you a whole bunch of stuff about what's going on now. But I thought it was just be great to bring this interview with Carl to you. I'm pretty sure that his pop-up bar that we will talk about is now open. So very exciting in Manchester. I'm going to be in Manchester, by the way, speaking at an event on the 29th of October. So really looking forward to that. An event organized by one of my sober coaches, a bunch of sober coaches, Andy from After Party. So again, all those, that info will be in the show notes. But right now, let's talk to a guy from Manchester. My guest is Carl Considine. Fantastic name, by the way. I love your name. Where's that from?
Thank you. It's Irish. So people often think it's from Greece.
Yeah.
Because it's similar to the Constantine. But no, yeah. My dad and his family are Irish.
Right. Okay, cool. So anyways, I really wanted to have a chat to you, Carl, because it looks like you're doing some fantastic work. After moving on from addiction, you're a podcast host, you're launching an alcohol-free bar, life has changed dramatically, you're obviously doing amazing things. Take us back though to the old days, you know, just for a bit. Let's go back to the dark stuff.
Yeah, thank you for such a warm intro. Do you know, just listening to you describe those things and then thinking about taking us back to what life used to be like for me, It feels surreal, because it really does just feel like a different life. And so in answer to your question, to take you back, life was, yeah, I was in addiction very deeply, and things progressed quite rapidly for me. I always liked to have a drink, and you know, I was always known as the party boy and the last one standing, and oh, you know, that's Carl, just kind of bit of a joker, always taking it a little bit too far. But I think because I was doing that so frequently, it was really normalized and really minimized. And actually, the way I was drinking was really dangerous. But I don't think that is noticed or appreciated as much when you're kind of going through your 20s and that thing that you do. But actually, it was so problematic for me because it was impacting my mental health, my physical health, my ability to hold down a job, my financial circumstances, you know, constantly taking out new credit cards, all that type of thing. And so, yeah, my life went from very quickly being someone who liked to party and socialize and have a good time to being quite the opposite of that. And the last few years of my drinking, which I do describe as addiction, were me drinking alone in my apartment, completely isolated. So the polar opposite of being social. And I think that just demonstrates the power of alcohol, because it had got to the point where it was no longer about me connecting with people and having a nice time. It was me wanting to drink in a darkened room to the extent that I was then able to without any fear of judgment, which is really sad, right? And back to that original point of what I'm doing now, I just never thought a different life was available, was possible. I never thought I had it in me to do that. And you know, I can't say enough to people that maybe have got similar experiences to me that and as cheesy as it might sound, like, change really is possible. Because I thought you know, I was destined for an unpleasant ending anyway, shall we say.
Exactly. And around that time then, I mean, what kind of work were you doing, and did you have a good sort of social, I mean, did you have friends who were looking out for you? Did you have any support when all of that was going on?
I did, yeah. So I worked mostly in office jobs doing HR, which is quite interesting, right? Because HR is about looking after people. And I wasn't looking after myself,
no, exactly.
Which was kind of ironic. And I did have a good support network, and you know, I'm lucky to have friends around me that have been around a long time. But also, Jenny, I've lost friends and I've lost people that still to this day, like, even just saying that now, there's a physical reaction in my body because it just makes me feel sad. And, you know, it's people who would say to me, you need to stop drinking the way that you are, or my drinking would result in me really frequently letting people down, and people just got sick of that and didn't need to stick around anymore. And so often I was given ultimatums for, you know, either stop drinking or do something different, or I don't really want to be your mate anymore. Luckily I had some people in my life that have stuck around the whole time, and equally I don't blame those people who didn't. It's just kind of what happens, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I know you speak quite openly about the drinking culture in the gay community. What is that like then? Is that, you know, describe it to us.
It's a lot of fun to start with. And I think that, you know, I live in Manchester city centre, and I think a lot of gay, queer people, whatever language you use, move from small towns and villages to big cities like Manchester and London, because it's where we find
a big
our community. And that's what I did when I came to Manchester.
And does that all revolve around drinking, at least to start with?
It's a really good question, because there was a time when I would have said, yes, it does. But now I have to eat my hat, because what I've learned since I've got sober is that community is still out there. But it's not all a community of people that drink heavily. And I think, you know, I was using that as an excuse for a long time. And don't get me wrong, it's really prominent. And, you know, meeting people when you're new to a city and you don't have established friendships and relationships, it's very easy to go out for a drink, and then suddenly you're doing that quite regularly, and suddenly that's what everyone does. And So it is quite easy to get caught up in that. But I'm also conscious that not everyone does get caught up and they find connection with the community in other ways. I just really lent into finding connection through drinking and going out. But I think it's, when I've spoken about this openly on my own podcast, it seems to really resonate with my community. And people often will send me messages on Instagram saying, yeah, I think this is a problem, or I've had a similar experience. So I feel like there's something there, but it's not always spoken about.
Yeah, absolutely. So what did change for you then? What was the turning point? What happened when you eventually, is it 3 years now you've been sober?
2 years, 9 months. Actually, okay. A few days ago, I was 1,000 days sober, which was a massive milestone. So my turning point was a wake-up call from a nurse, an alcohol nurse. So I had, in the last 6 months of my drinking, I'd completely isolated myself. And on a number of occasions, a couple of my close friends said some things to me that were quite alarming. One of my best friends said to me, Carl, I'm waiting for the police to ring to say that you're dead. So I sought some help and I reached out to a local charity and I got some peer mentoring. And through that process, I had some blood tests taken because my health was not good. I was drinking every day. I was drinking from the morning. And the nurse rang me. It was actually during COVID, so everything was on lockdown. So it was a phone call. And I sat in my apartment with the curtains drawn and, you know, bottles everywhere and just in a state of despair, really. And the nurse rang me and she said to me, you know, I've been doing this job for a long time. And at your age, the stuff that's coming through on your blood results shouldn't be what it is. And if you continue to drink the quantities that you're drinking, you're going to die young. And she even said, I bet you think I'm saying this for effect because this is how we get people to make a change. But she said, I'm not. And your parents will be coming to your funeral very young. And that was my wake-up call. And it was kind of, in a way, ironic because when I was so deep in that drinking, I didn't want to live. You know, every day I would fantasize about maybe not waking up the next day. And because I was so depressed, not really because I didn't want to live.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
And I couldn't see a way out. But then suddenly someone saying to me, well, actually, that's what's going to happen, was really, yeah, just really illuminating. And, you know, I didn't want that to happen. I wouldn't want my family to experience that. And so that was the catalyst for
so a proper short, sharp shock from somebody, you know, who knows their stuff. Yeah.
And from a medical professional, right, saying it's not just a friend saying, oh, this is getting out of hand.
Yeah.
It's an experienced person saying, here are the facts.
Yeah. So what happened next? How did you get free?
So they referred me on to treatment and I was on a waiting list for residential rehab. And then they contacted me to say that a place had come up on outpatient rehab and I could start that within a few days, which is essentially going in the day but coming home at night. And each day you get blood and alcohol, blood and urine tested for drink and drugs. And so therefore you have to be abstinent throughout the period of the treatment process, which was 3 months, otherwise you get kicked off. And that's what happened next. I went into treatment a few days later and it totally changed my life. Because I sat in a room full of people who were like me, but I dealt with all of the stuff that I'd not dealt with, which was difficulties at home growing up, dysfunctional family, childhood trauma, addiction in the home, domestic violence in the home, stuff that I'd never really explored properly. And it turns out my drinking wasn't because I liked to party and my desire to find oblivion wasn't because I was a really social person. It was because I was trying to check out of my reality. And, you know, I'm just so grateful that I had that opportunity to have that treatment and learn that stuff about myself.
Yeah, it's good, really good to hear that you got offered that and that it was successful in inverted commas, you know, because, I mean, you know, you probably will have heard me say before that, you know, I just have such a huge frustration that it has to get that bad before the support is there for people, you know. But I'm glad the support was there for you, because, you know, again, you hear people say, you know, well, I've reached out and there isn't anything available, or you hear people who say, the one thing I'm managing to do is holding my job down. So if I'm offered, you know, I can go and go to a meeting or something, but it's 2 o'clock on a Tuesday, I can't do that because I'm holding my job down. Therefore, there's nothing for you. I mean, how crazy is that? You know, so, I mean, there are all kinds of frustrations, I know, but it's good to hear that that was helpful for you. It really is.
It was so helpful. And on that point, the thing is, I think it was right place, right time for me, and I was lucky, because this stuff isn't that readily available or visible for people. And over the years, I did speak to my doctor a few times, and it never really resulted in anything. It was only when I contacted an independent charity that things seemed to progress. And yeah, I feel so thankful for that, Janie. And the treatment center that I went to, they had a recovery day for recovery month last week. And I went down there, and my group counselor was down there, and it was just so really
fantastic. Lovely. Oh, that must have been great for you.
Yeah, it was gorgeous. And he was like, you look like a different person.
Yeah. Well, you are a different person, aren't you? Let's face it. You really are. Amazing. Yeah. Absolutely amazing. So tell us about some of the stuff you're doing now then. Obviously, you do your podcast. And then tell us about the alcohol-free bar. How did that come about?
Yeah, so this is definitely the most exciting thing happening for me at the moment. And also, another kind of full circle moment. So my background is, as I mentioned, HR, and I've worked in office jobs for many, many years. And it's fair to say, since I've got sober, I think something happens when you make a decision to get sober. And for me, I would describe it as the biggest decision I've ever made in my life. And I truly believe that when I'm on my deathbed, I'll look back and say that was like the biggest change that I could ever make. And I think what happens as a result of having that kind of radical act of self-empowerment is there's a knock-on effect, a domino effect of like looking at other parts of your life and figuring out what's important to you and thinking about your purpose and your existence. And I just realized that I didn't want to do HR in this office job anymore and started to think about, okay, well, what do I want to do? And I'd been doing the podcast for a few months and really enjoying being in the sober space, so to speak. And then, I thought about the fact that something I've come to really love, which I never thought I would do in my first year of sobriety, is I still go out to bars and restaurants and nightclubs, and I have a great time because I'm over the addiction now. And but I know for lots of people that's still a bit of a struggle and can be quite triggering. And so this kind of concept of alcohol-free space that is a safe space for the sober community, but also a space that will appeal to people who do drink and, you know, maybe want to do something different, or maybe you're trying to moderate. So, it's the concept is much broader than just sober people, for want of a better description. The sober community is not just people that have experienced addiction, right? It's people with certain religious beliefs, with health conditions, with lifestyle choices, etc. And so there's a really...
Well, and also we're more fun.
Yeah.
Sober people are a lot more fun.
So much more.
So anyone with any sense is going to want to hang around with us, right?
And this is the thing, like when I go to sober raves and stuff now, and it's amazing because you walk in and nobody's having to have a few drinks to get going. You walk in and people dance immediately.
It's brilliant.
That's been something that has really appealed to me. And with the alcohol-free bar that I'm opening in Manchester in a couple of weeks, I want to create a space where people feel empowered to be themselves without being under the influence of alcohol.
Exactly.
And I hope that there'll be some like real beauty in that. And maybe that might influence change for other people, right?
Yeah, how exciting. So how often will it be open, and where is it, or is it too early to share that info? I don't know.
No, there's some bits and pieces to share. Yeah, so it's going to be called Love From, which is kind of a love letter from me. And it actually stems from someone had listened to my podcast in Lisbon, and they messaged me saying, oh, I've just listened to all of season one in a day, and it's really changed my perceptions and mindset around drinking. And they just signed it off, Love from Lisbon, and it really stuck with me. And
nice.
That's what I decided to call the bar Love From. And we're going to be a pop-up to start with, so we open mid-October in the city centre. So lots of footfall, and the pop-up hopefully will be a good opportunity for me to test what works and what mm-hmm. doesn't work. So yep. I'm going to host a variety of different events.
Great. Can I come?
Yeah,
I'll come
of course.
And I'll come
please,
and host something.
Please come and see us. And you know, those events, it range from, I've got an art workshop, and this was one that was really important to me, because often you see art workshops and it's with wine or Prosecco.
Yeah, exactly. Crazy.
So we're doing an art workshop with cocktails that are non-alcoholic. We're doing a film screening. We've got some DJs booked, all sorts of different things. But then also over the pop-up period, we'll just be open for people to come and sit and have a drink and enjoy the menu.
Yeah.
So in the short term, it's a pop-up in the city centre. Long term, my dream is to get a permanent space and to hopefully have something that people can build up some loyalty with and actually look forward to visiting.
Yeah, wonderful. I love it. Absolutely
Thank
love
you.
It. How exciting. Really exciting. Anything else you want to share with us, Carl?
I think going back to my original point, right, change is possible wherever you are in your journey with alcohol, whether it is problematic or whether you just feel like you wish you could drink a little bit less. There are no rules. There isn't a playbook of what that should look like. But if you want to make a change, especially in this kind of current environment with the sober movement picking up so much momentum, it really is possible. And for me, I think surrounding yourself by like-minded people is a great way of
being able to do connection is everything, isn't it?
So, yeah.
And I think also, you know, just this whole thing of you don't have to wait till you hit rock bottom. Right?
Exactly.
You could step off right now, step off the booze elevator right now.
Exactly. And, you know, if Love From can help people to change their perception on, actually, I can go and have a night out and have some really delicious cocktails, not have a hangover the next day. You know, maybe the person I'm describing is not in addiction, but, you know, there's a road where it progresses and potentially it could be.
Yeah, exactly. You don't, life is just so much better without the booze. Why would you go there?
Exactly.
Whether for one or for too many, it doesn't make any sense, does it?
Save the money,
we
save
know
the
that
time,
now.
Save the headache.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, it's great to chat to you, Carl. I'd love to come up and visit the venue at some point, maybe host something there. It'd be great fun.
That'd be gorgeous.
Love Manchester.
Yeah, I'd love that. Yeah,
brilliant. Thanks ever so much. Really appreciate it. I'll put all the details in the show notes. And take care. Thank you.
Great to chat. Thanks, Janie.
Thank you, Carl. So we'll pop that information into the show notes. Don't forget that event that I'm going to be speaking at in Manchester is October 29th. And then just talking of events, after that, we've got our Champneys event, Self-Care and Sobriety. Come and treat yourself to a pampering, in inverted commas, but inspirational weekend at Champneys. It's the 4th and 5th of November at Champneys in Tring. And then after that, we've got, we're going to do an online family constellations. Our constellations workshop was amazing. It's always incredible, always completely just, I don't know the word really. You leave feeling so different, so compassionate, so open-hearted. We're going to do one online. Of course, it's not quite the same, but it does work online. We did one before with people from three continents, and it was really powerful. So I'll have that date set up for you very soon. If you can always find out information about our events at thesoberclub.com/events. And December the 5th, we have our Christmas party meetup, and my special guest is Catherine Gray. I'm super excited. I've interviewed Catherine several times on the podcast. I absolutely love her Unexpected Joy Of series, all of them. And really looking forward to chatting her to her at Club Soda December the 5th. I don't know if there's any tickets left. You're going to have to go to thesoberclub.com, click on events, or click through to Club Soda's site. And hopefully there are some tickets left. But if there aren't, then keep checking back in case we get any return tickets. And just drop me a message if you're interested in come into future events, because we'll always be putting, you know, more stuff on. So finally, just remains for me to say, if you want to support the work we do, it would be so appreciated. Obviously, you can join us in the Sober Club, or you can make a donation to our Give Back Fund, or you can buy me a coffee. I think you just go to buymeacoffee.com /genuinelygrace. And of course, if you can meet up with me in person, mine will be a flat white. So thank you so much for listening to the podcast. Thank you for all the kind stuff you say about it. I haven't even mentioned Sober October, have I? Some of you will be, what, week 3 and a bit now into Sober October. And if that's the case, well done you. Don't stop. Don't stop in a week's time. Keep going. Carry on with these benefits. Focus only on what you're gaining. And if you haven't already, tell someone that you're doing it. Drop me a message. I'll be your cheerleader if I can. I'll reply to as many messages as I possibly can. Have a fantastic week, and I'll see you same time next week. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by the Sober Club. Please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com.